You're on KCSB 91.9 FM, Santa Barbara. Welcome to Radio Causeway. I'm Pav.
I'm Tim. This is your weekly showcase, bringing you timely interviews and bridging your world of music. If you find yourself or your town getting womboozled, you may just have entered into the colorful and playful world of author and illustrator Molly Hahn. She's with us today to talk about her books, Sketches of the Day, and Under the Sneep Tree, The Womboozling of a Village.
And in the second half of the hour, we've got a sampling of tracks coming out this fall. Stay tuned.
Good morning. You're on KCSB 91.9 FM in Santa Barbara. This is Radio Causeway. I'm Tim.
This is Pav.
Today we have a great show lined up for you. We have in Studio A, waiting to talk to us, Molly Hahn, aka Molly Kuehls, illustrator and animator, and author of Under the Sneep Tree, The Womboozling of a Village, and her latest release, Sketches of the Day. Good morning, Molly. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's great to come back to UCSB where I attended, and I love KCSB, and I've always been very supportive of the KCSB community and the music community in general.
Yay. We like that. So I'd like to first start off with congratulating you on your two books, Under the Sneep Tree and Sketches of the Day, but I wanted to start off with maybe kind of a silly question, but maybe not.
I like silly. It's a good icebreaker.
I was hoping for that. What is a sneep tree, and how does one recognize if their village has been womboozled?
Oh. A sneep tree is a very whimsical and fun tree. It's curvy, and it's kind of Dr. Seussical. It bears a fruit that most humans wouldn't actually think is a fruit because it's so prickly on the outside that you have to have a certain amount of strength to crack the shell and smooth the shell and crack it open to discover the treasure inside. So the fruits are very prickly. I've never been asked them, well, how do you know if your village has been womboozled?
Right.
Well, there's these creatures called womboozles, and they're jeez. How would you know? Can I get back to you on
sure,
that one?
Sure, certainly. I'm sorry to throw you a curveball straight off the top.
They're very fun, friendly creatures, so don't be scared if you actually get womboozled.
So those creatures that are called womboozled, so if they show up in your town, maybe then you know there's some womboozling happening if you see a womboozle.
They're probably looking for sneep trees because their village experienced a terrible fire that destroyed all of the trees. And all of the sneep trees. So the strongest womboozles had to go out and find food for their families, and with the intention of rebuilding community. So when they ventured off, they got lost in the fog. So you're going to want to help them.
It was a fog. It's a foggy morning this morning.
Yeah, and it was a fog that like. Actually, it was so dense that they all got lost and separated, and they ended up finding each other eventually. I don't want to ruin the whole story, but that the main character, Wombi, is the one that fell asleep in the main character's yard, Percy, and they were definitely very scared of each other, but eventually found that their differences were not scary. And that they could become friends and unite and help build community together. And so it's really about, you know, opening up to other, to fearful experiences and learning about other cultures and community.
That actually makes me think of there's a drawing in Sketches of the Day with, it's called Stranger. Right, and there's a similar, well, it doesn't look like a womboozle, but there's another kind of monster, very cute looking monster, on one side of the picture, and then a young man on the other side of the picture. I mean, so it seems to be a kind of current ongoing theme, right? That this idea of interacting with what's strange mm-hmm. or potentially monstrous,
mm-hmm.
Even cutely monstrous.
Yeah. There is a lot of that type of imagery that's consistent in my work, and it's something that I've recently discovered or become more aware of. And I feel that there is a cuteness that is also alive in with the strange. And I enjoy drawing monsters, and I feel like they do embody an aspect of my own experiences in life that have been scary and strange. But to also make light of it and to remove myself from them in some way to gain perspective. And I feel like that a lot of my own personal history definitely has integrated itself into its work, and I've become more comfortable talking about it too.
There was a really nice article written about you last week in the Independent, talking about some of your influences growing up and how that may have kind of seasoned or tempered how you write. How has your childhood led you to want to write children's literature?
Wow. Well, my experiences growing up definitely influenced my imagination. And because I grew up in a very challenging environment, my parents were extremely abusive, and I've been on my own since I was a teenager, and I've really struck out in general as an independent, not just as an independent artist, but very much independent person. I feel that when I was younger, my artwork was definitely an escapist activity, and I reveled in it. I loved it. I loved going there, and I loved going into nature. I grew up in a very beautiful place in Northern California, and I'm very thankful that I had that nature around me. It really saved my life in many ways to be amongst the redwood trees in a very mystical place. And so it was a very silent childhood and a very quiet childhood, but I thought a lot. I wrote a lot. I created music and dances, and you know, I feel that I had a very strong connection to my imagination, but it wasn't something that was nurtured by my environment. It was really my own endeavors. So getting back to writing children's literature and illustrating for kids, that in many ways in my own personal journey, I am reclaiming a part of my childhood in my own healing work that I'm integrating now into my artwork. And because I have a very strong connection with that younger Molly, the little Molly, who's still very much alive and is also still very much scared in many ways. She,
like many of us.
Yeah, we all have that, and I'm not the only one, and I've learned that through being more honest about my experiences, I'm able to connect more to other people. You know, not necessarily have had the same trauma, but everybody has something, and that I'm able to empathize more. I feel like my writing and illustrating authentically conveys emotions that are able to create these empathetic connections, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. That is a strength I have, even though I don't have a formal art training. You know, I never went to art school. I drew comics at the Daily Nexus, yeah, right around the corner for many years. Right. And I got hands-on training. And I feel that aspect of my work is very much alive and will continue to be a strength that I carry through all of my books. And I recently returned from a conference in LA, the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators. It was my first conference, and definitely very inspiring. So,
well, I guess we can, that was one of the questions I wanted to talk to you about, and after this we can take a music break and let people call in. But I saw you down at the San Diego Comic-Con, so yes. You were on tour this summer. You were at Comic-Con, then the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators Conference down in L.A. What role do the conferences play in your work?
Wow. Well, I started doing comic conventions about 3 years ago, and I, as an exhibitor, I had attended them a few times prior and also helped people at their booths at the San Diego Comic-Con. Really, initially, the San Diego Comic-Con served as the biggest deadline for me. And what I mean by that is that I finally had like this really big deadline I had to create a ton of work for, and it really pushed me to start creating. And I initially exhibited my comics, and I had prints and postcards. And eventually I decided to start focusing more on my illustration work. And when I decided to pursue doing children's literature and illustration, the San Diego Comic-Con has always been like this big deadline that pushes me to uh-huh. get work done. But now that I'm doing multiple, going to conferences as an attendee and also trying to branch out to different conventions, the Comic-Con no longer is like the big deadline. I feel like I'm always on deadline now. Like I want to be doing books like every 3 months. I know it's really ambitious, but I feel that
prolific.
Yeah, it helps me remain prolific, but also it's I've made such amazing friends and have networked with other cartoonists, and it's really fun. It's like summer camp. You know, every year you're going to see your friends from Canada, from France, from Mexico, like everyone around the world. You know, we finally gather and we have a blast, and it's fun, but it also is a very professional event as well, so...
Okay, we're just about to take a musical break, so stick with us, and we'll be joining local author and illustrator Molly Hahn, a.k.a. Molly Kules. If you have any questions, give us a call during the break, and we'll be sure to try to entertain them in the second half of our interview. The number here is 805-893-2424.
We got a song queued up by Joni Mendenhall. It's On a String. You're on Radio Causeway.
Hey, this is Joni Mendenhall, and you are listening to Radio Causeway with Pav and Tim on KCSB 91.9 FM Santa Barbara. Candy apples.
You're back on Radio Causeway. I'm Tim.
I'm Pav.
We are joined in studio with author, illustrator, and animator Molly Hahn, a.k.a. Molly Kules, the author of Under the Sneep Tree, The Womboozling of a Village, and Sketches of the Day.
So building on what you were just talking about it before our break, I wanted to turn to the forward to Sketches of the Day, which came out last year, or a version of it that came out last year. And there you write that that book, quote, represents a very few steps into uncharted territory as I experiment with different styles, ways of telling stories, and creating a more personal connection with my audience. So in a very obvious way, it's different from Under the Sneep Tree. It's more of a kind of a daily diary, almost illustrated, right? Mm-hmm. But what led you to that form, and in what ways did it allow you to explore a different narrative structure or audience connection even?
Well, I actually started doing the sketches of doing a daily sketch almost a year ago, and I decided to do this immediately after I finished my children's book last year. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I needed to keep my mind and my hands busy naturally after finishing a project. Like, oh my gosh, what's next? A really good friend and colleague, really like a mentor to me, his name's Pascal Campion. He's an illustrator based in San Francisco. He does daily sketches and has been for many years now, and recommended to me I start this practice. And so I took his advice, and it was definitely an exploration into uncharted territory. I mean, the first few months were very difficult to come up with new ideas and new ways of telling stories. I noticed immediately what kind of walls I was running into technically as an artist and where I needed to improve. But it was also a chance to become more transparent and use autobiographical experiences in my storytelling. So really the main challenge with a daily sketch is to generate new material, generate new stories, and really improve technically and experiment. And as if you look at the new book, Sketches of the Day, mm-hmm. it's a compilation of many of those sketches from last summer until this last spring. And they're also accompanied with, some of them are accompanied with haiku poetry. Initially, a lot of the sketches are done in pencil that I scan in, and then I paint digitally. And eventually, you'll see that I start to explore a little bit more with just digital art, and I start finding a flow, and I started finding a flow in my production work, and I started to really get inspired, and the sketches became more easy for me, and they weren't taking a couple hours, they were taking 20 or 30 minutes, which is really, the ideal is to keep it under an hour. So for me, it's a dedicated practice I want to continue to do. And in regards to the contrast in narrative, yeah, it's definitely not a children's, it's not like a children's book. Not that it's not appropriate for a younger audience, but it is more personal. And I do touch on themes that are more autobiographical. And, you know, but it's also really, there's a lot of fun illustrations too. Right. And I really get into drawing monsters and funny creatures, and the haiku poems that accompany some of the illustrations were very fun for me to write. And I think that they capture the spirit of the book. Very concise. And I don't like to spend a lot of time on the sketches, so. But I love them.
Yeah, so. It's a really cool piece. You can find it at Radio Causeway. Links to it from radiocauseway.org. And what's your website, Molly?
My website is www.mollycules.com. That's MOLLYCULES. And you can remember it. If it's a funny science thing, like molecules, but it's molecules.
Yeah.
I initially came into UCSB as a math science major, and I segued into other things, but I still very much have a strong appreciation for math and science.
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about your role, how you see your role as a storyteller, especially in this kind of hyper-changing world of media and technology. Like your role, how do you see your role as a storyteller, and also self-publishing? Because if you're an artist out there and you're thinking about getting started and you don't have a publisher knocking at your door, that hasn't stopped you. Talk a little bit about
those things. Yes, yeah. It's an ever-changing terrain. The old publishing model is falling apart, and I went to a conference in New York recently called Book Expo America, and I went as an attendee with the intention of learning more about the publishing industry. And I also wanted to see what New York was like. I've never been. So it was actually, I had no real idea what was going to be happening at this convention. And it turned out most of the panels were about self-publishing and the do-it-yourself revolution.
Uh-huh.
And people that had been in the publishing industry for decades were saying it's self-publishing, print-on-demand is the way to go. Well, how do you do that? We're all trying to figure it out.
Right,
they don't know. We don't really know. and I am hanging on. I believe in it. I love having the creative control over my stories, and I feel that I run into problems with distribution, which is the main thing for me right now, is getting it out there. And as a storyteller, I feel that it's really my responsibility to improve my skills as a writer, to continue to illustrate and improve my illustration skill set, but also to be knowledgeable of the industry. And that really was the intention of going out to New York, and also this conference in LA recently, is to remain knowledgeable and to be inspired by others to continue to go on, because we can't do it without each other. And that's the main thing I'd like to get across, is that eventually I believe that self-publishing will be something that we can do and get distribution successfully. That the model is changing, the business model is changing. The old model's like falling apart, the new model is like, it's the Wild West, we don't know what's going on. But I'm confident that we can do it. And I want to be part of that. I really feel responsible in that way to motivate others to do it and to hang on. And that it's fun to do it all, even though it's a lot of work. I love writing it. I love writing the stories. I love illustrating it. I love designing the cover. And really, I'm up against distribution. And it's really hard. But you can get distribution channels through Amazon, where Under the Sneep Tree is currently available. So it's going to be it's definitely a work in progress.
And you've got a book coming out in the fall as well, right? A new book.
I do. And I can talk a little bit about that if we have time.
Yes, please.
Okay. Yeah. So I am in production on a new book. I am planning to release this fall. It's a picture book. It's for a younger audience than the Sneep Tree book was intended for. It's definitely more illustration focus. The focus is on the illustration. And I'd say for preschool, kindergarten audience. So the book is about a little girl and all the things that she can do, from making robots to exploring the deep sea to creating confections that are completely crazy and bright and fun and yummy, to raising baby dragons. It's an exploration of her imagination and all the things that she wants to do when she grows up. And it's a very fun book, and it's definitely about embracing a child's imagination and encouraging that creativity, which we all have.
It sounds really, really cool.
Yeah, I like it. I need to be spending more time on it. I've been so busy.
It's hard to be prolific and also professional.
Yeah,
it's
pay the bills.
It's a balance.
Bill, right?
Mm-hmm. I haven't had much of a social life this summer.
Well, you just got back from tour.
Yeah.
So, Molecules, that's the alias that you go by, your pen name. Where does that come from?
Well, when I was in elementary school, I was easily distracted in general. I was a totally fidgety kid, hated sitting in my desk. But I would hear the word molecule in science class, and I would just be like, what? You know, just like, oh, they didn't say my name. It's Molly. Molly. Molecules. And so I adopted this nickname, self-imposed nickname, very early on, probably at the age of 11 or 12. And I was drawing comics at the time for the elementary school newspaper and high school. And when I got to college, I decided that was going to be the domain for my website. And I've had that website, molecules.com, since I was 19. And there have been friends of mine that have followed it since its inception. And it used to be this like really like dream, like, you know, Dreamweaver. I didn't know how to use Dreamweaver. It was totally just like one static image, and that was all. But now it's a very dynamic website that I run using Squarespace. And It includes a shop and my daily sketches, videos. I love making videos that represent my work, and also I do kind of comedic sketches sometimes just for fun. What else? You know, I have a blog on there, and it's definitely the mainframe for my work, although I also have work on I represent my work on Facebook as well. So
one more time, where can people find your works at?
My work is at molecules.com, MOLLYCULES.com.
We've been joined in studio today with Molly Hahn, aka Molly Cules, illustrator, animator, and author of Under the Sneep Tree, The Womboozling of a Village, and Sketches of the Day. Molly, thanks so much for being here with us.
Thank you so much. It was great.
Hi, Radioland. This is Rob Wallace, author of Improvisation and the Making of American Literary Modernism. And you're listening to Radio Causeway with Pav and Tim on KCSB 91.9 FM in Santa Barbara.
Well, it's the end of our show. Thank you for joining us. This is... It was nice having Molly Hahn here. If you did miss the interview, you can check it out either at kcsb.org or at radiocauseway.org. There's a podcast available. And now, as I was able to do last night, you can also subscribe to our podcast off of iTunes, which is lovely news.
Yep. So next week, we've got a great show lined up. We've got Colin Marshall, columnist and host of KCSB's Poodle Radio and the Marketplace of Ideas. He'll be on to talk about his new short film, The Observer. Kind of excited to see and talk about that.
Turn the microphone on Colin.
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, thanks for tuning in, everybody. This is Radio Causeway. I'm Tim.
I'm Pav.
Have a great week.
Radio Causeway is a presentation of KCSB Public Affairs. The opinions expressed were those of the individual speakers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of KCSB, the Associated Students, or the Regents of the University of California.
If you have a comment or wish to respond, please address correspondence to KCSB, University Center, Room 3185A, University of California, Santa Barbara, California, 93106. This is KCSB 91.9 FM, Santa Barbara.